Welcome to the Water Entrepreneur Podcast. This program features a series of interviews exploring the origin stories of startup founders, early adopters, and innovation champions related to their personal, technical, business, organizational, and financial journeys. This podcast is sponsored by Astera, the leader in remote Earth observation technology for the water business. Support is also supplied by Imagine H2O, envisioning and building solutions with the world's best water entrepreneurs. And now, live from beautiful downtown Encinitas, your host, Paul Gagliardo. Welcome, and thanks for joining me today. This is episode 13 of the Water Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm your host, Paul Gagliardo. And today, I'm really excited to have as my guest, Cynthia Bauman, Water Utilities Technology Director at the City of Garland, Texas. Garland has received a superior rating by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Hi, Cynthia. Thanks for being a water entrepreneur and appearing on the show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So hopefully there, you know, no hurricanes in Texas. You guys dodged this bullet. So you're not flooded out or anything. And, you know, luckily I wasn't interviewing anybody from Florida right now.
Okay. Yeah. We don't get too many hurricanes here, but we've had our share of tornadoes. So.
Oh, tornadoes are even better. So if I hear the siren, I should just, end the conversation. Huh?
Exactly.
You know, I've worked for a municipality in the areas of public works construction, hazardous waste remediation, solid waste management, wastewater and water for over 25 years. I also worked for the largest investor-owned utility in the United States, American Water, for 9 years. In both places, I found it difficult to get management to embrace new technologies and try new ways of doing things. What's been your experience and how have you been able to incorporate innovations into the Garland Water Utility?
Oh, that's a great question. So my background's not actually in water, it's in technology. I worked in the city's IT department before moving over here. I was over in IT about 16 years. And so I've been here a little over 8 years now, 9 years. So, you know, I had a history of being able to request technology and get it funded and came over here and they really had a good foundation and kind of a plan. They'd been implementing strategic plans since about 2003. So I had a really good foundation of technology when I came over here, but I came over here to lead their asset management implementation back in 2014. And so came over here and learned the water business. And since that time, I've carried on the tradition of doing a strategic technology plan every 3 years. I just updated it for the next 3 years. And I really feel like it's... I'm able to demonstrate the value, you know, show the value to the guys on the ground in the field that I can help improve something they're doing. And then two, show the value at a management level through either a project request or a proof of concept project that we do and how we're able to capture value for the utility, for the city.
That's an interesting concept and something I always talked about when I was at the city of San Diego was having to manage down and manage up, you know, and sometimes managing up, well, it's different. I don't want to say it's harder, but it's different. And, you know, trying to sell things to the people that work for you, say, hey, this is a great idea, you know, do it differently. But it's a whole different pitch to, you know, the managers, the directors, the council people, whoever that you have to convince to make that investment. How do you find, you know, kind of that role that you find yourself in, you know, having to kind of really look in both directions at the same time?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, working downwards, I feel like with the field guys, it's about gaining their trust that I'm not trying to replace them. I'm trying to make their job easier. You know, I'm not afraid to climb in a truck and show them how to do something or what to do. And then upwards, it's more about the data and the metrics, and what we can achieve from what we're, you know, what we're trying to implement. So I'm a big believer in looking at the data, trying to prove, you know, return on investment. We put out monthly metrics for the water department out of our asset management system, pulling in data from a variety of sources, showing them, you know, what we're doing and what we're accomplishing every month, looking at the trends month over month, year over year, to see where we might need some help or why not. So I mean, and it's interesting, but it gets me using all of my skill sets, right? Building relationships with the guys and just really looking, diving into the analysis and looking at the data so I can make the business case on the other end.
So how did, Garland's, how many people in the city?
We have about 246,000, I think it is. I think that was our latest census.
Okay. So it's a mid-sized city. How did the, was it the department director, you know, public works director? Was it the council? Who was kind of behind you talked about this asset management program, you know, for the last 10 or 15 years. Who was behind starting that? I mean, somebody had to pull the trigger and say, hey, I want to go in that direction. I don't know if maybe you weren't there at this point in time, but do you have any feeling for kind of the origin of why the city even took that on? Because that's not typical, at least in my experience.
Right. So the previous managing director of water, who is since retired now, was the one who kind of spearheaded that effort. The water department had GIS. It had a work management system, but we really didn't have that next level of looking at the valuation of our assets and where we really needed to look at our replacement, budgets and things. At the time, I was still in IT, and I transitioned from the network services group into a business relationship manager role, and all the public works departments were the departments, some of my departments that I work with. So I was from the very beginning with them when they started talking about asset management, why we needed it, brought some consultants in and helped us kind of do workshop a lot of things, what our goals were, and put together an RFP to go out to find a solution. And then it just so happened that as we got ready to implement the software, the person who was like their project manager and their GIS person here in the water department left the city, and it opened up an opportunity for me to kind of slide over back into a management role, kind of leading a team, doing project management, change management, cultural change management, all of that with the team. So, so the managing director really got the buy-in. We brought finance and city management and everybody kind of to the table from the very beginning to buy into that implementation.
Yeah, you need everybody, right? You need everybody to be bought in, because it's really easy to kill an idea. You know, you got one person in a key spot and they're like, nah, I don't think so. And okay, that's the end of that. And it's hard to combat that. How do you feel? I noticed a couple of times, you've used the term, the guys, So I'm curious how you view yourself, you know, a female in a male-dominated business, I guess is the most straightforward way to say that. Do you have a lot of contemporaries in the city that are also female, or are you kind of the unicorn, or, you know, how is that working for you?
It's funny. I described myself as a unicorn a couple days ago. There are a lot of female people across, you know, females in leadership management roles across the city, in the water utilities, obviously. I mean, even back in my days in technology, not as many women as men in the technology industry. And to be fair, there, you know, we have some women in the field, in the water department as well. Just, you know, the ratio is about 1 to 60. So, so I don't know, referring to them, sorry, as the guys, the field workers.
That's okay.
It was different coming over here because, you know, again, outsider, IT, outsider, female. And so it was really, I just tried to build a relationship and build trust with them. I like to demonstrate the value that I can offer, the services that me and my team can offer to the group. I try and make things fun for the guys as well. Whenever we're training or talking about a new initiative, just to get that buy-in. Yeah,
I know a lot of the, if when you talk to the field crews or even the engineers, anybody that's, you know, an operational, when you tell them, oh, the IT people are coming down, they're like, oh God, oh man, that's the kiss of death.
Right. I know. Yeah. Kind of had that reputation for a while, but, I mean, on the flip side, one of the guys that was here in water then and works for me now, you know, he said, you know, if anybody in IT told me they were going to get back to me and they actually did get back to me, it was you. So I feel, you know, grateful that they see me as someone that isn't an impediment to their progress, that I'm just here. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. So,
really? So did you have any like mentors that, you know, kind of directed you, you know, whether it was out of college or in the organizational structure, that helped you get to a certain place or told you to stay away from a certain thing, you know, kind of gave you any kind of advice that way?
Not really. I mean, not in the formal sense. Let me say that.
Okay.
I never had a formal mentor. I always thought that would be good. It would be nice to have a program like that here. I try and always mentor and guide my staff. But for me, you know, I always look to my parents as role models. Both of my parents were educators. And so they, you know, worked in service, what I consider a service industry. My father taught English as a second language and Spanish and Chinese, and my mother worked with developmentally disabled children, and so they were always trying to, you know, better and enrich people's lives, and I feel like they kind of instilled that desire to provide service in me. But from the time I was little, my father used to always tell me, I have two older brothers, and so I'm the youngest and the only girl. And he used to tell me I could do anything or be anything I wanted to, even if I wanted to be the first female president of the United States. So I always kind of took that to heart and, you know, never really let gender stop me. It was more my desire, my curiosity to learn and move in different directions that kind of took me through different paths in my career.
So do you have higher organizational aspirations at the city, or, you know, you're going to be the city manager one day? What do you think?
I, After going through several disasters and seeing what stress that brings, maybe not. I just recently got a promotion to director, so I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. Just hit 25 years with the city, so I'm pretty happy with that. Right now I'm focusing on growing my team members and developing some people and leadership skills and the teams under me so that we can set kind of a course for the future for the water department. I think in the next 5 years or so, our department will probably see a lot of retirements, including my boss, our managing director. So, you know, you never know what the future holds.
I was going to ask you about that, as far as, you know, the brain drain, right? The staffing, the people who are retiring that have that institutional knowledge, you know, whether it's where's the valve and, you know, out in the field or, you know, whatever it happens to be. It sounds like you're at least working on succession planning and training and all that, but is that something you really kind of focus on because you can kind of see that it's coming or it's already here and it's just happening and it's just going to get, it's just going to continue. And I guess the other second part of that question is recruiting the new people, you know, enticing people into the water business and getting them into those entry-level positions so that they can move up in the organization. How do you find that?
Capturing institutional knowledge was actually one of our kind of driving forces back in 2011 when we started looking for an asset management solution. Having the data in GIS so we know where the assets are, capturing what needs to be done on certain assets, what preventive maintenance needs to be done, what do you do when, you know, you have a main break, so we really focused on capturing a lot of that institutional knowledge because we really started seeing the attrition happen a few years back, and it's been going on for a while. As far as recruiting, I recently was at a recruiting job fair that we had across the city because, you know, it's this great resignation since COVID is affecting every industry.
Right.
But people still want their city services, so we still have to provide all of these services. And so we had a career fair for many city departments, and I was there with the water department and actually, the water department had great success. We hired several people that day, which was nice. And, you know, on the field staff side, we have a skill-based pay program that we use. And so the guys are the field workers and women are able to continually move up, you know, if they want to get another license or learn a new skill. So they incentivize that, which is great program. We have people that other cities call us and ask about our programs that we have here, which is nice. And I find on the technology side, some of the younger guys that come to work here are also obviously more inclined to use technology more. They're less afraid of it. We've been piloting some iPads in a couple of areas, and I get a lot of questions like, when are we all going to get an iPad? So it's nice to know that the younger generation is enthusiastic about technology because we can continue to help and they'll give us ideas of where we can improve things. Capturing that knowledge and really trying to automate processes that have been done manually for so long has been a big focus as well. It's trying to move away from the one guy that knows how to do the one thing and really have standard procedures and policies and processes in place. So
what do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing water utilities? Is it, I don't know, some people will say cybersecurity. You just mentioned automation. What are the things that for you are kind of, at least going forward, top of mind?
Top of mind is always cybersecurity for me. It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month right now. So I will be training our guys. So our city IT department is responsible for training the city as a whole on cybersecurity, on ensuring that we have the greatest software and hardware and everything, policies and procedures in place. And I work closely with our IT department and our CISO on ensuring that those are then carried over on the water side. And then we do more on the water side. And so I take that opportunity to continue to champion the cause and keep it in the forefront of everybody's mind. So cybersecurity obviously is one. We're constantly, we have a lot of things we're juggling. We're working on, we've implemented recently a leak detection program, trying to drive down water loss. We are looking ahead to lead and copper changes and what needs to be done for our system, trying to capture all the data for our citizens so that we can be compliant in a couple of years there. And really just continuing to drive home the asset management philosophy about capturing good quality data so that then management can use that data to make good informed decisions going forward. You know, we're big, like I said, on strategic technology plan, master planning on our water, wastewater treatment plants, SCADA, all of this. So we have a good, 10 years worth of projects to look forward to in the coming years.
It's interesting. It's kind of a two-edged sword. You know, you want to automate as much as possible, and that just opens you up to more cybersecurity threat. You know, so the more you do one thing, it's like, back and forth, and you always have to be thinking about this other issue, the more you put online, if you will. Those phishing scams, they're so easy to hook people in. It's just, it's tough. I mean, everybody has to be vigilant.
Exactly. All the time. Yeah.
So do you perceive yourself as an entrepreneur? I do. I perceive you that way, just because you're trying new things. You're on the user side as opposed to the creator side, but still there's a lot of definitions of entrepreneur. Do you see yourself that way?
No. I mean, I like to think of myself as an innovator and a problem solver. Never really thought of myself as an entrepreneur, but I like to look at systems and break them down, look at the inputs and processes and outputs and see if we can figure out a better way to do things.
That's just semantics. Yeah. I know in some of the kind of technologies or a lot of the new buzzwords is, whether it's artificial intelligence or machine learning, and a lot of companies are trying to sell kind of analytical solutions to some of these physical problems, like, asset replacement or, it's some of those kinds of things. How do you see that kind of concept fitting into what you're doing or how water utilities should function. I guess, you know, when I look at, you know, linear underground assets, right? Pipe, you know, you don't see them, you know, they're there for a long time. You put them in and it's like, okay, I'm not going to worry about that pipe for 50 years or maybe 100 years, whatever. That's somebody else's problem. But as we all know, they have failures, they fail in different ways and, you know, for different reasons and, you know, trying to predict why and when, you know, to prevent those, you know, catastrophic main breaks, you know, if, as an example, you know, so I'm just curious at how, as to how you view that, the whole world of, you know, machine learning, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say we're doing anything on the AI realm yet. We do use some analytical tools, pulling in data from our asset management system. We're looking at a variety of variables for determining what to replace. We, you know, as a city, we try and be good stewards with our citizens' tax dollars or bond money that they've approved, right? So on a water replacement or sewer replacement model, we try and also look at, are we replacing streets or are there streets that are going to be torn up as well? So we pull in a variety of things, you know, the size of the pipe, the proximity to a major road, the proximity to a hospital, you know, pipe material, pipe age. This year, we started looking at the CDC Social Vulnerability Index as one of the mm-hmm. variables for doing some of our analysis. So we pull in our data and then we're applying these analysis variables to get kind of our consequence of failure and likelihood of failure for the sewer and the water pipe. You know, that's just where we are at this point. We do some asset analytics as well on some of our vertical assets at treatment plants and whatnot. But, you know, those are the main ones. You know, I haven't gotten into the AI realm or any of that quite yet. Trying to do some predictive and preventive maintenance using pulling in data from our SCADA system into our asset management system to do more criteria-based maintenance on assets as opposed to I'm going to do it every time at, you know, this time of the month you know, let's look at something else based on a certain condition. So that's kind of where we're at right now with our programs.
So you haven't quite got to the digital twin model yet, huh?
Not quite. We have we don't have a full blown digital twin. We have some you know, quasi areas of that where we're using for analysis, mostly on the SCADA side, pulling in, having a secondary database so we can do some reporting or analysis. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm just trying to get as many of those buzzwords out there to get your reaction. I remember when I first started working at American Water, this is in 2009, I was running their innovation program. And I had everybody, you know, IBM, all the data analytics companies saying, oh, we come in, we can analyze this, we can do that, we can do this. And I said, look, I have to wait because I don't have a structured data set for you to do any analytics on. You know, I have to get my house in order. And they said, oh, no, don't worry about that. You know, just pay us and we'll do that. And I'm like, there's no way we're going to pay you to do that. So we just have to wait like 3 or 4 years until, you know, we have our data house in order. And then, you know, we can start thinking about doing some kind of analytics on that data. And that was always something really interesting. I found that people wanted to do, or companies wanted to do, the analytics before the water organizations, which tended to be a little behind, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, had the data that was available to do anything on.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it's been with the asset management program. You know, we put an asset management system in and converted some of the old data, but, you know, right off the bat, having the analytical tools wasn't going to get us the results we needed, because you need to have some history built up in there, some work history on your assets before you can look at it. You know, improve your GIS data, get some more of that data populated to really show the value. So, you know, it took us, I think it was about 3 years into our asset management program before we really started running any of those analysis tools.
Yeah, takes some time.
Yeah.
So do you like what you're doing? The question I ask people, are you having fun in your job?
Yeah, well, that was going to be my answer. Yes, I do. I really enjoy my job a lot. I have a lot of fun with projects. I mean, there's, goes without saying, you have your stressful days, but I enjoy what I do. This year, I happen to also take on the our water operations team as well. And that's been something new. I love to learn new things. So learning another aspect of the business, being closer with the water operations team and the SCADA system has been a great eye-opening experience for me. So yeah, it's, and you know, I get to do a little bit of everything.
Nice.
I'd be testing software one day, or managing a project another, or writing a strategic plan the next. So,
yeah. Oh, that's great. That sounds like a terrific job to have. What advice would you give to somebody, you know, who's thinking about getting into the water business? I mean, do you think it's this is a stupid question, but do you think it's a good career move? I mean, what, of course you're going to say that, but that, I mean, that's not stupid, I should say. I mean, do you have any advice for people who are, you know, either considering a career path or what?
That is a great question. I never really thought about it that way. You know, when I was in IT, it was easy to, you know, work behind the scenes, and you're just responsible for keeping this network running and the server up and everything. You don't really always see the other end of it. But, you know, water is one of our nation's most critical infrastructure pieces. You need water for life. I think it's a great career. As an example, I'll just share this. So over the summer, the city has a great internship program. We solicit interns from high school and college for various different departments across the city. And so we decided we wanted to have an intern in my group. And we watched a bunch of interviews of some of these young college kids. We wanted a college student to help us with a GIS story map project we were working on. And the young man that we selected, his interview, he said his goal was to go to work for a Microsoft or an Apple type company when he graduated college. And so our goal was to show him how cool water could be, right? We each week we took him someplace different and showed him the different technology that we have, just trying to expose him to what the water industry has to offer. People don't think about everything that goes into having, you know, that clean, good tasting water coming out of your tap, but there's really a lot of interesting and, you know, intricate processes that go on behind the scenes. I think our treatment plant had a couple of young ladies interning over there as well. You know, some of those processes over there are just way beyond my understanding. It's so fascinating to me that somebody sat down and figured out how they could, you know, treat wastewater. So, you know, I just encourage everybody to kind of look beyond the norm. And, you know, water has a lot of things to offer, even if it's not in a water utility specifically like we are. There's, you know, engineering design firms that design systems for us, and there's people that make software or things behind the scenes. So yeah, I am super thrilled. I think it moving in the water department for me opened a lot of doors, and I've really enjoyed my time over here.
Well, as I mentioned to you, that I had a lot of different positions when I was with the city of San Diego. And when I finally got into the water business, I just felt like this was the spot for me, you know, for all the reasons you mentioned, you know, the health and safety, the environmental stewardship, the technology, you know, all those kinds of things were just so broad and fascinating. And it's not like the water business is going to go away, you know, anytime soon. And so it's a pretty stable career path. And there's a lot of different opportunities. And so, I mean, that was, let's see, I got into the water business in 93. So, you know, we're pushing 30 years now. So I guess I've made it a career.
Yeah.
And it's been a good career for me. Oh. But great. That was such a terrific conversation. I really appreciate it. I think it gave some good insight into the utility side of the equation, you kind of the customer side. A lot of the folks I talk to are, you know, on the product side, on selling to people like you. And I think it's going to be good for the listeners to hear what it's like on your side of the desk, so to speak. So I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you all for listening. This podcast was brought to you by Astera with additional support from Imagine H2O. The producer is Anna Gagliardo. Theme music by Gabriella Gagliardo. Yes, this is a family affair. Your host is Paul Gagliardo. If you have any questions about this podcast or the series, please contact us at thewaterentrepreneur@gmail.com. And please follow us on Instagram. We hope to see you again next time.